Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. What's up, everybody? Digging up Dillinger. We're digging it up. Let's go. A little bit of a different episode. Todd's not with us, and Travis's dad, Mike's not with us today. They're all good. They just can't make it tonight. And we got a interesting episode with some a picture that we found actually on Facebook. So let's get into it. Joe Malillo here, obviously Stuart Fillmore and Travis Thompson, digging up Dillinger. Here we go.
Yeah. All right.
Grave. The grave.
Everybody loves talking about graves. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
This is explicit warn. This is an explicit podcast. So if you're listening from the museum, just be known this is explicit.
So you might put your children to bed early. Yeah,
don't blast this through the house. Still, I'm sorry. Last episode still got me. People were coming up to me too about it and being like,
"Yeah,
the Boston Red Sox Museum, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, pretty much." I mean, yeah. As a Yankee fan, I would hate to go there. That's pretty much where it is.
I've had people reaching out to me, and they're like, "I'm never going there again."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who knew that that's how museums operated? Right. It's just money.
Yeah, yeah, it really is a scam, man. Wow.
So, anyway, back to real history diagnosing, which is us. Today's episode, we will be talking about an article that we found, that Travis found on Facebook, that essentially lays out what the grave looks like under the ground at Crown Hill Cemetery. Yeah. So, Stuart, let's just start with what we do know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back into the files. Let's talk about what do we know about Dillinger's grave just from the last episodes, but really just from your knowledge?
Yeah. So, you know, Dillinger was killed in Chicago on July 22nd, 1934. That's the official story. And a few days after that, I'm not exactly sure how many days, but let's say 3 or 4 days after that, Dillinger was buried in Crown Hill Cemetery in a plot that was a family-owned plot. His natural mother was buried there. And am I right about that, Travis? Was his natural mother there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a funeral, and, you know, one would think that would be it. But a few days after that, and I've read the entire file, and I've not been able to find an exact date when it happened. But Dillinger, he's not really Dillinger Senior. I call him John W., John Wilson Dillinger. John W. Got all the necessary permits to exhume the body. So the coffin rather was exhumed. The grave was opened. The coffin was exhumed, and for the purpose of building this elaborate structure of some kind, and we don't really know exactly what was done, but there's some kind of my understanding is it's like almost like an upside down birthday cake of concrete slabs that were put over the coffin to secure it forever and ever against gravediggers, because apparently there was John W. had received some offers to display the body, you know, like at carnivals and stuff, and he just found that idea grotesque. And I can completely understand how a father would feel that way. You know, there's completely and utterly sympathize on that issue. And I think that maybe that scared the father into thinking, you know, they're going to dig up my son and show him at carnivals around the country. So that's the story that explains why this elaborate concrete is there.
Yeah.
We think maybe that there may be some other reasons to it, but that's the basically the official story of it.
And people got to remember, is listening, John Sr., my great grandfather, couldn't afford to pay $50 to embalm him in Chicago. Right.
Yes.
So where did the money come from?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I'm going to pull up the picture and then we can just talk about what the article says, but it's actually ridiculous how much concrete is on this. Super overkill.
Yes.
Look at this article, guys. Look at
that. Yeah.
So apparently 4 reinforced concrete blocks, like you said, kind of like a upside down birthday cake, layered on top of a mixture of concrete and scrap iron poured over the coffin, that making a cap. So almost like a tunnel, right? Yep. Or, I mean, I can only imagine it just turns into a big square block that forms to the ground underneath in the hole. And then then on top of it. So not only is it deterring, you know, it says 2.3 tons of concrete, but not only is it deterring grave robbers and people that wanted to do what we just said, but it's deterring us because this looks like a lot of work when we want to dig them up, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing that I recall from when we were dealing with the production that was going to be pitched to the History Channel, you know, for TV purposes about the exhumation, is I know that the producer that we were working with contacted several engineering type folks who basically said that concrete would not be a problem. They could, in fact, I think a couple said with a crane, they could pull that thing out in one piece and it wouldn't even be an issue.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said it before. Maybe we should just do it ourselves. Just like in the cover of night.
I'm betting though, as elaborate as it was, I'm betting over the years some water probably has seeped into that thing. And also, not whether water seeped into it or not, I'm betting that that coffin probably gave way a little bit to the weight of that concrete. But Travis, now I could be wrong about this. As far as we know, there's never been a cave-in at that grave, has there?
No. So when we and Paul Lima had the meeting with Crown Hill, when they were on board with our project, they had said, one, they had no records, a diagram, or anything of how the concrete was put in.
Yeah.
They had no information who paid for it or anything. They also said that at all the times, there's never been a disturbance, a ground disturbance. It's always been the way it is. And it's weird because when you stand there and go there, it's pretty solid ground. It's extremely solid. So I would think it might be in pretty well intact if we can get down to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, all we need is two things really. We need the skull, with the teeth, because we know that he had that one missing tooth we can see in the film from the, Crown Point Jail.
Yeah.
And we need a femur to extract DNA from. And I think both of those will be preserved regardless of whether that there was a cave in or whether that thing's been sitting in water for, you know, 90 years.
Or if, you know, the rumor was when we were doing this investigation that a groundskeeper observed the FBI pouring acid into it before they put the concrete slabs on top of it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I just can't imagine that the old man would have allowed that.
Yeah.
You know, that is, I remember you and I talking about that I don't think there's any doubt that the father dearly loved his son. He did not, he certainly didn't condone a bank robbing career, but there's no doubt that he loved his son. In fact, I find it kind of heartbreaking there's a video of John Wilson Dillinger out at the farm, and you see him plowing the field with his horses.
Yeah.
And he makes a statement that, you know, he thinks, you know, John could, if given the chance, he could, you know, be a good citizen, and actually even says he could become an officer.
Yeah.
You know, so, it, you know, clearly that was not going to happen, but you can see and sense the love that he had for his son. And it was, again, it's kind of sad actually, you know, because we know what happened now, but
yeah.
I man, As far as I can tell from my research, and again, the research on this is muddy. It is not clear exactly how this all came about.
Yeah.
But yeah, you found that information about the FBI pouring acid on him. As far as I can tell, you know, the father was involved in the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine that he would have left his son, you know, the casket or whatever at any moment long enough to allow that to happen, you know.
Unless it was the imposter and he knew it.
Unless it was the imposter. Exactly. Yep.
Because
yep.
Not only is this weird, you know, and then the family afterwards goes on a tour around the United States on a crime doesn't pay tour.
Exactly.
Which is odd.
Right.
You left the farm, your only livelihood.
Yep.
To go out and do this. And it's all the things that happen after the funeral is weird.
It is weird. Yep. Yep. It is weird. And the barn burned down. I mean, there's a lot of funky things that happened, you know, afterwards that make you wonder. Again, there's so many things in this case. There's things that give you legitimate wonder about, you know, is the official story true?
Yeah.
We at this podcast don't think so, but no. I do want to talk about too the fact that the Dillinger grave is so close to the street. You can see the grave, basically the family plot from the street, like as you're driving by. I mean, I'm almost so good at it. I can point at it as I'm driving north. I'm like, there it is. Look there. You can see Dillinger's name, and it's the family plot, right? So John W. is there, and then his, and then that obviously that headstone is also. Everybody talks about that when you talk about that gravesite is that headstone's been replaced. I don't know how many countless times because people keep chipping it off.
Yeah,
not they're chipping at that. They're chipping at mom, his father's, and it's I wish people would stop. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it's
it
is. Does it cost you money, Travis, and the family?
It doesn't cost me any money, you know, our family any money. They've Crown Hill's replaced it on their own, but it's still, I think it's disrespectful. It's been stolen. I mean, the bad thing is his own sister sold one of the headstones that was recovered. Yeah. Audrey sold it.
That's funny how that side is selling headstones and money on that name.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I'm getting frustrated. I'm ready for us to break through something and get us in the right track.
Yeah.
Like this, for instance, you know, if any of you are on Facebook, send me a private message of information like this. This is stuff that we would love to, you know, find. And I go through the pages and read all your guys' comments and what you guys are talking about. So, I mean, please share it because we'll get it up here and, you know, discuss it because we've never seen a picture like this.
Yeah, ever. And it's great too because, I mean, this, we'll give it, it's graphic news, right? There's a big watermark on it. So, to be clear, it's graphic news. That's the name of that's the name of the picture. But
and that depiction is as accurate as anything I've seen in anything on this, and at least with the it's very consistent with the written descriptions that are out there about you know this concrete.
Yeah, I'm pulling up our messages just to make sure on Facebook because we do get everybody's messages, and we also get our Gmail messages. There's Ryan Gorby is somebody who messages us frequently on Facebook.
Yeah. I've actually talked with, or chatted with Ryan on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ryan and his brothers, Luke and Zach, did some experiment about the pendulum cause they were talking about the pendulum. But my point is we do get, a lot of your messages and emails, right? So diggingupdillinger@gmail.com. We were just saying it's going to get warmer. We're going to be able to do more things. I know, Travis, you were on the podcast, the Zone 7 podcast, right? With Cheryl, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, with her help too, we've been contacting with her, trying to work with her people to see what's up. But
yeah, because we need to get back to the farm. One, I think we need to do a little bit more digging and then explore where the cadaver dogs hit and see if they can get another hit in that same area.
Yeah. And I think just us digging for fun, it's cold. It's been cold all winter. We haven't gone out there.
Yeah.
But like Shane, he's going to be okay with us going out there and just taking some shovels and just hitting a couple places. And maybe we can hit jackpot again like we did last time. And we'll have it live on YouTube.
I have a feeling there's something else there.
Oh, I don't have any doubts about it. I know there is.
I mean, we found other jars. We had that one jar when we were filming Expedition Unknown that had paper in it that was completely destroyed.
Yep.
And the same kind of jar that the map was found in.
Exactly the same.
Wow.
For those at the History Channel that wanted to say we faked it, we found the same mason jar in the ground.
You guys definitely faked it. There's no doubt. You guys are fucking cheats.
We snuck in there in the middle of the night and, you know, we didn't.
Yes.
What I think is funny is you're buying 1920s baseball gloves and pawning it off as John's from your app.
I know.
That's really what I'm.
I went down to the local flea market, found one identical.
Yeah,
the same time that would be used.
Same picture. Same as the picture. So let's kick back to the grave here, because I think if you're interested in going, it's open. You can go and see it, and it's pretty easy to get to. It's literally you go through Crown Hill Cemetery's front gates, right? It's right near 38th Street, just south 38th Street.
Yep.
You drive in, and you take a right. And then you stay to the right, because obviously graveyards, there's not a lot of like street signs, but you stay to the right and you kind of go north, and you kind of, if you can't see the road to the east, you're in the wrong spot. You got to go back and go take a right when you get in and stay right and stay north and stay east of Crown Hill against the iron gates, right to the outside. And then eventually it sits on the right hand side, and you can get out, and you know, I've been there and there's been people there. I've been there and there's been nobody there. And it says, you know, again, in the picture that we're looking at, it's like a little headstone. It's not a big thing. The family plot's headstone is tall, right? It's about 3 feet tall. So, and it says Dillinger on it. So you won't be able to miss that one. But
and if you're looking towards Boulevard Avenue, that's right there, Boulevard Street, you'll see a yellowish kind of apartment building.
As soon as
you see that building, you're very close.
Also, the tree. There's a huge tree that I use as a marker for myself, because I thought to myself, when they dig him up in 2019, when you guys were working on that, I thought to myself, I'm gonna camp out in that tree because it's off property. Right. It's on public property. So I figured, oh man, this is going to be a great viewpoint. I'm going to climb this tree and see, because we, you know, to be honest, we knew each other, but we weren't as close as we all are now. You know, I was just a lowly podcaster, just getting to know y'all. So if you want to see it, please take a picture, send it to us. We'd love to see it. Yep. We'll post it on Facebook.
You might run into me out there. I check on the grave quite frequently to make sure, because when the news broke, when we were going to exhume the body, the vandalism started kicking up again on the gravestone, but also women leaving love letters and their undergarments.
Shut
at the gravestone.
You're lying. It's
amazing.
No, there, and people doing seances and, you know, odd oddities there too. But there's a lot of different gifts. Yeah, I mean, John's still pulling the ladies after all these years. So.
91 years ago.
Man. Yeah.
Wow. Dude's a Casanova through
time.
That's right. There's the t-shirt for today. The Casanova through time.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll tell Jan.
And you know what? And I hate to say that I don't believe he's there. So they've been leaving notes for some other guy.
Yeah. You know, Travis, it was your dad, Mike, that I think came up with the most plausible theory about this was that, you know, if it's not an imposter that was killed, okay, which is a pretty elaborate thing to imagine anyway, okay?
Yeah.
but it was that your dad had this. John's dad had a legitimate fear that his son, someone was going to mess with the grave, and that's probably a pretty good bet on his part. I think Mike's theory that they, you know, that this whole putting concrete on the grave thing was an elaborate ruse to move the body somewhere safe. Yep. Somewhere where the family would know, John could rest peacefully, and with the concrete there, no one is ever going to know. You know, that to me makes a lot of sense. It really does.
But I think it makes a lot of sense because his wishes were to be buried with his mother.
Yeah,
I think even if he's really not there, where the headstone is, he's on a diagonal from it. In the empty plot that's never been filled.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that, you know, that is, great point, because there is that empty lot, plot right next to him.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, remember those documents that somebody took about Crown Hill from Crown Hill?
Yeah. Yeah.
So an explanation. So
which is funny, they never showed us the documents that they had, but they sure turned them over to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those, go ahead, Stuart. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, again, that to me is a very plausible theory. You know, I've long said, I think that was actually Dillinger that was killed that night at the Biograph Theater. But that said, you cannot ignore all the discrepancies and anomalies in that autopsy report with the known characteristics of Dillinger. You just cannot ignore those. And to me, that's the hanging question in this. Why are there so many discrepancies that don't make sense? You know?
I wonder if, cause I mean, I know it's their property, but we have the deed to the plots, all of them. If we could run GPR over the empty plot, the empty one, and see if there's anything under there.
So frankly, they can't really. I mean, we talked about this with Cheryl. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say there's definitely no way that they could do something, because something could happen. But if we show up with GPR and we throw in the back of the truck and we pull in and we pull it out and we run it, can't really get us quick enough. Yeah. I feel,
and I'm hoping that Crown Hill
would only take less than five minutes to do.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the difference between walking on it and taking? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
This podcast is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Travis was drinking a Coke
and Buffalo Trace
and Buffalo Trace. Can't forget about baby Buffalo Trace. Gotta love that Buffalo Trace. I think we can do it. I think that's a plan. I'm sure they're going to be able to look out now.
If there's an anomaly under the ground there, then our theory of exhuming the one part is going to be.
Well, I tell you, if there's any truth to this whole concrete thing, which I think there is, I mean, it's documented in so many places, although so inconsistently documented, but nonetheless, if that concrete's there, that will be a giant anomaly that the GPR should point out.
And comparatively to the grave right next door to it, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. So right next door to it should give you a reading of what a normal grave would look like, and then John's with the concrete should look completely different.
Could we take this is crazy? Could we take like a metal rod? I know. I think it'd be illegal.
I had that thought earlier. And
just kind of like,
see how deep that, yeah.
Well, you know, people, when I've been out there, they dug little holes and put candles in the ground there. I mean, they're not deep,
I know.
But maybe I don't know. I want to know.
Is it a felony, Stuart?
I don't know.
Now, I will say you can see some of the concrete. So where the headstone is, there's a concrete base.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's attached to what's under.
Right.
But again,
I'm betting the concrete got probably at the time probably went right to the surface because the theory being, hey, don't even mess with this. Don't even try because this is solid concrete.
Yeah. All that equipment pouring concrete, if they dug another grave on the other side of it,
Right.
Do it during this and put the, you know, the casket in one and did the other thing to the other. No one would have known.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, but again, I was speculating earlier that maybe the cast in all these years that maybe the casket would have failed. But, you know, you think about it. So if you're going to do this, they had to engineer some way so that when they started pouring this amount of concrete on top of that coffin, they had to engineer it and doing it in a way that it just didn't crush it right then. You know,
yeah.
We're talking about a lot of weight.
The only thing that Crown Hill ever talked about was they knew that there was a vault was put in.
Right.
And so, yeah, they put the concrete around the vault.
Right.
Then they layered it.
Yeah.
This is the second time, by the way, because remember, they buried him the first time and they dug him up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had to remove the imposter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty intricate stuff. I mean, I know we're talking about the grave this episode, Casanova time. But
I mean, really, our investigation, other than the map, is the grave.
Yeah.
Is the person that's buried there, is it really John? Is it an imposter? Is there no one there?
Right.
A lot of our investigation points to the grave.
Yep.
I mean,
it's where the answer is, and I just, to me, I'm just dumbfounded.
So 6 feet away.
I'm just dumbfounded that there aren't enough people out there that you know, aren't just saying, why not solve this historical mystery? It's easy to do. Easy to do.
We've talked about this, too. Cash Patel has been confirmed now at this point. We've mentioned this before, like, working the chain. I mean, I don't know how serious this is, but, you know, you're kind of working on your JFK stuff, Stuart, so... Yeah. I mean, do you think it's a possibility? I mean,
I'll tell you, my frustration with that grows by the day because, you know, I think it was the day that Trump was inaugurated, January 20th, and now we're at March 2nd. And, you know, he signed an executive order the day he was inaugurated that the JFK files should be, or at least a plan to release the JFK files should be in place. Now, what frustrates me is, in the first term, Trump was going to release all the JFK files, but didn't because the CIA and the FBI went to him and asked him not to do it for such and such reasons. Trump has indicated on Joe Rogan that, you know, there was a, you know, with what they brought me, you would have, you know, kept the files sealed as well. But now I'm ready to do it. So that tells me that Trump knows exactly what it. You know, whatever it is, whatever the reason that these records have been sealed, he knows what it is. And he signed an executive order to say, let's release them anyway. So what the hell? Why not? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it should be done immediately. There shouldn't be any drip out of the records. Just open them up and let's go.
Didn't they find, didn't they locate other files, or am I thinking of the Epstein files?
So yeah, that's another little issue that I think maybe Cash Patel might want to clear up. So, you know, I've said this many times before that J. Edgar Hoover is kind of he's a confusing historical character because there's no doubt he kept his power and position through blackmail and extortion. There's no other way to say it. Yep. He had dirt on people. And if anyone threatened his power, he would use that dirt in a New York second. But on the flip side of that, he was an administrative genius, and he set up a filing system in the days before computers that was, I think, every bit as efficient as a modern computer system is today. And so what that system that he set up allowed to do was to find large amounts of data very quickly, you know, in an organization that was a nationwide organization that covered reports from all over the country. And so the system that he set up was very, very efficient. And one of the things that it's efficient in is every single document that ends up in a file is accounted for. So now we find out that the FBI magically found 2,400 documents that compile 14,000 pages that they never reported to what was called the Assassination Records Review Board, the ARRB, which they by law had to present those records to back in the early 90s. And so I can tell you, I know that 2,400 documents just don't magically appear in FBI records. And so the decision to withhold those from the ARRB had to have been done at the highest levels at the time. And it's just beyond infuriating to me that, you know, that we, that all these things just keep coming out, and it just, you know, I tell you what, you cannot, fault someone for thinking something's wrong here. Something stinks. Yeah. There's a conspiracy here. You just can't fault somebody for having those thoughts. And so,
no, I got frustrated this week when the Epstein files got released and every page was black.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
like,
why do you even release them? And
well, and okay. So that comes down to, what's been reported is that the FBI in the Southern District of New York, the FBI office there, informed the Attorney General that, that all Epstein files had been provided to her, that there were no others. And it was, what was given over was maybe a couple hundred pages, that didn't move the needle one bit. It already, most of the stuff had already been released. In the FBI, that is, there's two problems there. One, by not releasing everything, and it was later found out that the FBI New York has thousands upon thousands of Epstein related files. So first off, it's something called insubordination. If the Attorney General gives you a direct order to give me all the Epstein files and you don't do it, there's something else called lack of candor, where you tell the Attorney General, I've given you all I've got. And if that's not true, that's lack of candor. Both of those are firing level offenses. So you could be fired for those.
The reason why this has been frustrating me after seeing it, the JFK files, I mean, that was in the 60s.
Yep.
The Epstein files, very recent. And then we got John's files.
Yeah,
you know, in the 30s. Almost 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, are we ever going to find out the truth of any historical event?
Not with the FBI telling the story.
Sadly, I agree with you, Joe. Sadly, I think the answer is going to be no, we're not, because this pattern is just going to continue. And what I was going to say, just on that, to finish up on that Epstein point, is I can't imagine why anybody in an FBI career would risk being fired for insubordination and lack of candor over Jeffrey Epstein, of all people. Known pedophile, child molester, just a grotesque human being, and why you would put your career in jeopardy over that person is mind-boggling to me, and it's infuriating. Yeah. And I think there needs to be a deep dive done into why that happened. And was I'll even go as far to say I would look into some personal finances deeply.
There's definitely some protecting going on.
Yep.
They're covering for somebody. And like you said, someone's getting the financial gain of this.
Exactly.
I just want to see what those files. I feel like the Dillinger files, although massive, you know, are pretty well. We have them. We have a lot of them.
So let me explain on that.
Yeah. To be clear, folks, because I was always, we always talk about this. That
I was on a podcast this week on the Escape from Alcatraz, and actually there's an issue about the full Alcatraz files are not online and not available. So the same phenomenon is in the Dillinger case, whereas if you go to FBI.gov, the vault, you know, you can look up the Dillinger file, and there's a lot on there, but it's only about a third of the actual file.
Really?
I was able to get the full file through some contacts that I had. And so we have the full Dillinger file. And again, what's online is only about a third of it. And it's the same way with the Alcatraz file.
Yeah.
Now, I honestly, I don't know if there's anything sinister behind that. If it's just maybe someone went through it, like the Dillinger file is so voluminous that maybe it was a decision was made that we'll keep a lot of a lot of stuff is not relevant. And that's it. A lot of it is just administrative stuff.
Sure.
And so maybe a decision to just keep the volume down was made, not necessarily to hide anything, but frankly, there's been so many issues now about records being incomplete or whatever, that they've lost the benefit of the doubt. And you know, there's no excuse. Administrative, irrelevant, whatever. Every single document should be out there.
And there's all three of these cases that we're talking about have one common denominator. The FBI has interfered in every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've exactly interfered with ours.
Exactly. Well, the guiding principle always was don't embarrass the Bureau. That was above all else. Don't do anything to embarrass the Bureau. And, you know, if you did what you're supposed to do and you did your investigations honestly, thoroughly, with integrity and all that, you had nothing to worry about. But let's face it, the FBI agents are human beings like anybody else, and mistakes are made.
Sure.
But, it wouldn't necessarily be anything nefarious, but they would go out of their way that there's no mistake or error is acceptable. And, you know, we can't let the public know that. Well, I'm spilling the secret now. Guess what? They make mistakes. I made mistakes.
Don't embarrass.
You know, but that doesn't mean there's anything now, dishonest. Stuart. You know,
don't embarrass.
We all do.
Us.
We all.
Come on, you're on the show now. Act like it.
Now, great.
Don't embarrass the podcast,
Stuart. We have great time. I love giving you shit, dude. Let's just reel it back, because we go down this path sometimes on a regular basis with everybody. I feel like everybody knows that we feel this way, but we're trying to battle it. I would say that we're actually, you know, I feel as if we are trying to have a way forward. I'd like to try to like work through the senator. I've made a couple calls to our local senators. I've made, you know, and especially coming from an Indiana senator. Sure. Asking for this, like from Kash Patel, it seems so obvious. I'm going to keep
doing
it. It's
so easy. Easy. My God.
To us, but to them, they could care less. Honestly, they're like, it's 100 years old. Who cares? I mean, will it get me reelected? I don't know. It could actually. It'd be interesting to say.
Yeah.
Big you time. Help solve a Hoosier mystery that's over 100 years old. I mean, how that's pretty cool. To me, that's like the coolest part about it. It's like, let's put a feather.
No-brainer.
Yeah. Well, now with the whole Epstein thing, right? I get all the people always commenting on like, who cares? He was a criminal. But so was Epstein.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all care about that too.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, my family member was a criminal.
Yep.
It doesn't mean there's a mystery that needs to be solved. I know what he is. You know, I know that. So, but I want to know what else there is to know about all the other things. Yeah, I want to tie fun. All the. Yeah, it is
just,
fun.
We just want the truth. That's right. There it is. All the it truth. Is.
There I mean, it is, Stuart. If I can get you to say we want the truth once an episode, I'm going to try from now on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's pretty, be pretty easy to do, man.
I want just the truth.
Just get me started on these, why files and stuff aren't released. I don't get it.
I think us going, I mean, I don't know if us going to Crown Hill and asking them again, 5 years later, hey, do you have anything that we don't know about?
Yeah.
I don't know. But back to the grave, because that's this episode. What's under there? We don't really know. Would this picture helps? 4 tons, 5 tons, or 3, 2.5.
It's a really interesting photo, or picture.
It's
I
a
really
cool
like
diagram. It. Yeah, it kind of, because in my mind, I'm like, what is? I'm just thinking one big poured block on top, but the fact that it's like a birthday cake of a ton, and then it's reinforced too, which is crazy, right? It has, I'm assuming,
it's got scrap metal in it. Yeah.
So, anyway, go see the grave for anything, just so you can say you did it. And say you got to see one of Indianapolis and really Indiana's one of most famous landmarks from a crime perspective in the Dillinger grave. So let us know when you do it. We'd love to see it. Please send us a photo of you, a selfie. I'll start posting it. Grave selfies. Yeah. Baby. That's the next wave. Taking pictures with graves.
Yeah.
Selfies.
And if any of you know,
don't lay down
about
on
the
it.
Grave or have family stories that people that worked there back then, share it with us.
Yeah, we'd love to use that. I mean, truthfully, selfishly, we want to know. There may be some clues hidden in those stories.
You never know when the break in the case is going to come or where it's going to come from. So that's why you cannot close yourself off to other people's suggestions and insights. You just can't.
Stuart, you give me chills when you say stuff like that. Reminds me of like.
It's true, though. It's how cases are solved.
Yep.
No, I've been getting fired up more and more, guys. Like, I'm really feeling like we're getting close to something, and I'm ready. It's getting ready to get warmer. I'm ready for us to start actually, you know, boots on the ground, actually investigating.
Yeah.
So
we it being warmer, we have more ability to do it in more time.
I'm looking forward to coming up. So
we do have a lawyer who I'm trying to round two of the lawyers, right? So they're gonna look at helping us put a case together, because in the end, we put a case together, then we're able to go to History Channel or Netflix and say, hey, listen to this. This is cool, right? Don't you think? A winnable case here.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll probably close out here for till next week. I know next week we got a couple of articles we want to bring that Todd investigated, that found a couple of things that he's interested in from the FBI files, he said, specifically having to do with Purvis. So we're going to go back to Melvin for a little bit.
All right.
So a little tease for next week for that. We're looking forward to it. Forgive us for not being here every week. You know, if we don't have anything for you, we probably won't be here. Also, we sometimes just life, right? So just forgive us. Yeah. And if you have a problem with it, email me and just put the subject line, "I've got a problem with this," and I'll just delete it.
Yeah, because you know what, we're real people.
Yeah.
We have real lives.
Yeah, and
this is a passion for us. We love doing this. This is not work for us. No one is making us do this. There's no contractual obligations to this. This is something we're doing out of love and passion. And you know, so sometimes life just gets in the way, and so we may not always be there, but trust me, we love doing this, and we want our listeners to, you know, give us that feedback and let us know.
And be as passionate as us about it, because if there's an army of us, how could they stop us?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
One last thing. I do want to tell you guys. I don't know if I told you guys, but I'm going to Channel 13 tomorrow, WTHR.
Okay.
And I'm working on getting a freelance job with them to kind of work a couple hours every month. But in addition to that, I'm going to talk to him about digging up Dillinger and the other Infamous Indie stuff on their content pages. So essentially having a partnership with WTHR. And for those of you who don't live in Indianapolis, WTHR is the NBC affiliate. They are very high class. Like this is, in my opinion, the most quality news station in the market, in addition to Fox. I think Fox is, but they kicked me out. If you guys remember, I'm banned from Fox 59, so we're not going there. Everything. This is what I'm saying. That was another one that was just like another thing that happened. Yeah. If you guys don't know about it, I'll save it for another time. I'll probably post it on TikTok about the time I got kicked out of Fox 59. There's only like three people that are banned from Fox 59. Joe Melillo and Steve-O from Jackass. So like, it's like... It's pretty funny to be in that category. But Channel 13, I'm going to go talk to them about trying to get our stuff a little bit more exposure. So hopefully, obviously, more ears, more eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
More solutions.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Emails, we're always here. Travis, Stuart, I love you guys. We'll see you later.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yep. See you guys.
As always, keep digging.
Keep digging.
All right, see you next time. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.